This is the Storage Review Podcast. I'm Brian Beeler. On today's podcast, we dive into flash. We have Samsung on for an interview and talk with Rich Leonars there about how they view the SSD space, some of the challenges in flash adoption, and where we are today. It seems as if anyone that's buying an array today and putting it to work for mainstream performance-oriented storage is putting in a flash array, and that makes a lot of sense for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the capacities that the drives are available in now. Couple that with data reduction, dedupe compression technologies on the software side, and flash is pretty clearly the right answer. We talk with Rich a little bit more about what Samsung's doing, the future of flash technologies, and what they've got coming out at the end of the year, which is pretty exciting news. So without further ado, here's Rich. On today's podcast, we've got Richard Leonars, who's the Director of Product Marketing for Storage at Samsung. Rich, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, no problem. Thank you, Brian, for having me here.
Well, we're glad to have you. I know that you've got an interesting angle on storage, being one of the largest component suppliers in the industry. But let's just take one step back. For the guys that listen to our podcast that might be used to buying storage in terms of an array or what comes within a server they might order from HPE or Dell, tell us a little bit more about Samsung specifically and the path that led you to where you are today.
Absolutely. It's a good story. I mean, Samsung's been in existence for a while, started out sort of as a grocery store way back in the 30s, but moved to electronics in the 70s, and really the semiconductor business started in 74. So it's not something new, a new player out in the market. Really came in 50 or so years ago. Started doing DRAM. I think we had the first DRAM back in 84 with a 256K DRAM module, which is impressive to think of that in today's terabytes and exabytes and zettabytes type of market. And then SSDs for us started more of a sort of OEM play, but that was around 2006 or so. So when we're thinking of all the storage now that is migrating more and more to flash and SSDs. Again, it's not a brand new technology that hasn't been tested and seen before. It's really something that's been out there for a while, and that continues to see innovations. I know we went through the planar NANDs where we saw geometry shrinking from 24 nanometers to 20 and 18 and so on. Then around 2013, we came out with our first V-NAND type of product. So it was our first generation product that was out there. And we switched just because we saw some of the challenges and continued to just shrink the geometry. And when we talk about nanometers, these are tiny, tiny, tiny little differences when you're putting energy on these and how you control that. So said, you know, that becomes a challenge to try and continue to shrink and offer better performance, lower cost, and everything else folks expect. So jump to the V-NAND. And now, I mean, we've gone through our current third generation out there, so it makes it an interesting product line. So, yeah, so from Samsung, from a small grocery shop to a leading semiconductor company, it's been an exciting history for us.
Yeah, it's fun to go back over that because I don't think most people know the longevity of the company, not just as in the semi space, but all the way back. So the rise in Samsung's capabilities on the flash front, correspond to the adoption of flash overall, right, over the last decade, really. But
right.
Starting off primarily in duties like server boot, or a lot of the edge cards were used for accelerating databases on bare metal servers and you know, all of these fun use cases that anyone that's been around for a little while knows. But now it feels like, and I know we've probably been talking about this for the last 3 or 4 years, but it feels like most of these tier one mainstream workloads are are all going on flash now, be it in server or in an all-flash array. Are we finally at the point where anyone that's making a new investment today in anything that's performance-oriented in the least, is flash finally there as the primary go-to?
I would say yes, and I think you put a right emphasis on performance-oriented solutions. So anything that's really requires quick access to the data, being able to analyze stuff just through massive amount of information, it's really becomes cost prohibitive to even to say that now when you're relying on RAID and potentially spinning disk, just the cost of all the TCO costs around it are difficult to wrap your heads around. When you shift to SSD, it does allow for, you know, the lower latency, faster performance, even the whole process of what do you keep in hot data, what is cool data, less of a headache in how do you manage those, because now all your data is accessible much, much faster than you had before. So again, performance-based, I do see that many more players out there just going straight with all flash type of arrays and shifting more, not only the core OS, but even some of the backup, because you never know when you have to access it. But then as you go into less performance-oriented systems, there's always that interplay of, you know, lowering your cost. I mean, spinning disk from a just pure purchase cost is still lower, so you can get more of them for lower cost and put that older data sitting there. But everybody is putting flash in that top area just to be able to access the information and benefit from it.
Well, the array vendors have certainly helped out on that front from a pricing standpoint. In the last 2 years, we've seen Dell EMC, HPE, and others get real aggressive about offering all flash arrays at $25,000 price points or $35,000 price points to really get past the issue of flash is too expensive to consume. And granted, those aren't giant arrays, a couple terabytes, but with most of them now offering inline or post-process data reduction, dedupe, compression, those types of features, 2 or 3 terabytes of flash starts to go a pretty long way when you look at the workloads that that, you know, most mainstream businesses are using. I'm assuming that those improvements in data services and the way that vendors are bundling them to their customers has probably been a big driver for your success as well.
Absolutely. I think the more of the infrastructure that's built out there that relies and shows the benefit of storage, that of course creates excitement for users. I think also today a lot of the development and funding and venture capital and everything else happening around the world and California is really very flash-based, right? That's sort of exciting technology. Now we have PCIe as sort of the next step in there, and you used to have the bottlenecks with the SATA interface. Now you free that up with PCIe, and you can go back to those folks that were buying the solution because they saw the great speeds of SSD, and you blow them away when you say what a PCIe solution can do to the performance they had been seeing. So it's exciting, but it still requires the investment sort of in the overall structure and the design of the systems. As you introduce new technology, you still have a pretty large install base that needs to look and say, okay, is that a worthwhile investment, and is it going to pay back whatever I put into it? Am I going to get the return on it fairly quickly, or how long is that going to take? Do I need to replace everything I already had built out to now take advantage of it? So I think those are interesting things happening in the market. And, you know, for us as a manufacturer trying to always bring out the next solution out there, it's important to make sure We're building the relationships with the customers who are taking our solution and building a bigger offering to customers.
Well, so we talked a little bit about performance workloads, but one of the things that we're spending a lot more time on now is around Object Store. We've done some work with Ceph lately, and many, maybe most of, or maybe all of those deployments that we've seen lately have a decent sized hard drive footprint for capacity, and even some 10K or 15K for performance. We'll see a little bit of flash in there for logs and a couple other things. But do you see a future where flash takes a bigger stronghold in even more bulk storage or large storage operations like an object environment?
We do. Definitely, it's a direction that things are going. Now, as you know, the object-oriented is fantastic for large data sets, not as good for really accessing quickly and writing and reading off them. What we do see, though, is the desire for SSDs and flash into that environment, not only because it does speed up some of the processes overall, but it is a much better way of managing your CapEx costs. So instead of building and adding more servers, or having to double, triple your floor space of that data center, you can get the same type of performance or better performance with fewer drives, fewer servers being added, and keep your building and your fixed cost infrastructure to the same size you had before, or maybe even reduce a little bit. So while for SSDs in particular, I think nearline and file-based, block-based storage is where you see a huge benefit of putting flash into that storage environment. Object-oriented is an area that's going to see more and more growth in it. I think just they need to work a little bit on sort of the tools and how the things are being written and accessed to also take advantage of flash versus your traditional platter sort of devices.
You're not going to tell me next that we're going to see flash replace disk in backup appliances, are you?
I'm not going to tell you that, no.
Okay. Just checking. So you actually made a comment there about reducing footprint, and I think it's an interesting one. We were down in Raleigh with NetApp a couple weeks ago at their EBC down there, which is fantastic, by the way. But one of the things we were talking to them about was leveraging the roughly 15 terabyte drive that you guys offer today in their all flash arrays. And they had some really great stories about customers that can leverage these high capacity drives and not just shrink their data center footprint a little bit. They were talking about racks to you kind of comparisons to show how far down they were able to condense some older generation disk and even some hybrid arrays into these highly dense all-flash arrays. What are you guys seeing there in terms of what the density of the drives you're able to produce today is being able to free up in the data center?
Well, that has been really one of the key things, is just been the footprint and being able to replace some of those racks that were out there humming along, taking up tons of energy, tons of cooling requirements, requiring more and more space. The higher density, I mean, we all seen the reports from Gartner, IDC, and all the other analysts saying, you know, the massive amount of data being generated, 40 zettabytes, whatever the latest number is that they give for about 2020, that has to go somewhere, and that has to be managed, and it has to be monetized in some way. You can't just simply keep building out more and more space to put more racks out there. So at some point, you need to be able to consolidate your existing structure, yet have the ability to manage more data within that space. So that's where we see. I mean, we talked last year at Flash Memory Summit, which was in August, about a 32 terabyte SAS drive. So the technology is there, and this is one of the reasons why we have decided to shift to the vertical NAND or VNAND has been as a way to add more storage within the same footprint of device. I mean, that's 30 terabytes and now 2.5-inch form factor. So it is something that will continue to be the desired size and you know, from a form factor type of those systems out there. Yet now they can double the capacity that they couldn't do before and not really have to expand much on the existing flooring that they had.
So you bring up the form factor comment, and I think that dovetails nicely into one of the things I know you're excited about and is NVMe technology. 2.5-inch NVMe is something that unlocks both performance potential, but also keeps the same form factor that vendors and users are comfortable with, where it makes sense. Of course, edge cards are available too. But tell us a little bit about what Samsung's doing in the NVMe space and what you guys see as the future there.
Absolutely. So for us, NVMe is the next step. So we all know the SATA interface or SATA is really, I mean, it's reached its limit. So for the performance and to really see the benefits of flash and SSDs, you needed to make sure the adoption of NVMe took hold so you can really free up the limitations of the interface. Now, NVMe, though, at the same time, while there is excitement in the market and we're hearing a lot of interest, it's still not quite there from a full solution perspective when it comes to software and hardware and everything else tied together. What we have heard, and I'm sure there's a lot of extremely smart people, both at Samsung as well as some of the hardware vendors, is some of the challenges are the speeds of NVMe are great, but they also generate more heat than you saw on the SATA interface, and that then creates some of the thermal challenges in getting to the true fast performance. Now, this is when you're talking about massive amount of data being pushed at once on the drive. Not that many applications out there really take that approach. But I think part of that has just created a little bit of hesitation. While we hear everybody interested in wanting to jump into NVMe, maybe in the U.2 form factor or half-height, half-length cards, whichever it is, some of the purchase intent is not quite there yet. I think there still needs to be more of a proven factor that this is a technology that's fully supported across the entire ecosystem, and that when you're going to roll out these applications out there, that they're going to work everything from the drives all the way through every component that's within that rack. I know from our point of view, I mean, having shifted a little bit on the vertical NAND helps with some of that energy challenges that creates additional thermal signature to reduce that. So I think more of these products make it out to market and the hardware vendors can integrate them and have strong airflows or find ways to address any of the performance limitations that happen when the drives get so hot, it's just going to see more and more of these units being out there. And then I think we, at some point we had talked also on the software development and how do you manage these servers using software as a way to provide better performance. I think that's absolutely the next continue to invest in that type of structure and, you know, software-defined storage and making sure that that's growing as well and taking advantage of the hardware and the software to provide a better solution.
Yeah, it seems to me that the growth of vSAN, Scale.io, Nutanix, others that are leveraging a software-first approach probably opens up the market, not just for NVMe, but for all of your offerings in terms of integrations into those solutions. SDS has been another big boost for you too, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just anything where you can deliver the performance that your customers want, either via hardware improvements or software improvements, is key. And with these, the software side also is a lot quicker, at least in my mind, it's a lot quicker development than having to build new fabs and new technology to address these. You can bring in a lot of very smart programmers who can sort of test and tweak things quicker and then bring those to market. So you're delivering to your customers' expectations on what performance really means. You're keeping the hardware where it is, and then you're just taking advantage when the next evolution of the hardware comes into play. You can see a doubling boost of both your software and then also the actual hardware.
I think the software comment is a good point, because in the early days of all flash arrays and deduplication technologies, there has typically or was typically a massive hit in performance. So you might get a 2 or 3 or 4x to 1 ratio in dedupe data, but you are also going to give up a 60 or 70% of your performance, which is a problem. And we've seen really over the last year and a half, maybe two, big steps forward in software development, as you say, that takes that compression and keeps that ratio the same, but with a much lower hit on performance. So it has gotten better, and I'm sure has been another thing to help you guys. One of the other things that NVMe is getting more well known for is the idea of NVMe shared over fabrics. And I'm sure you've got several partners working on those projects in the hopper. What do you think about that as a consumption model for NVMe?
I mean, that's definitely what we hear, sort of the future and what everybody's interested in talking about today, just the ability to pretty quickly add more nodes to your network and more systems out there without really impacting your current infrastructure is great. The challenge will just continue to be, again, when we talk about the full solution and adapting the existing structure out there, and then now adding the tools and everything else to manage the NVMe drives. You know, it is a new investment, so I think for new companies coming in and looking at using this technology, it's great. But for a lot of the existing companies who have already put a lot of money into their structure, it's not quite there for them to sink in another huge investment into moving to NVMe over fiber. But we do see a nice move forward, and the tools, the software, and everything else being developed for it. It seems to be at least moving ahead pretty nicely, and there's a lot of interest and a lot of folks really from a bunch of different manufacturers working together to build that structure out. So I think it's going to be definitely sooner rather than later that we're really going to be talking about that as more of a, yeah, this is how it's done. And I can't believe that it used to be more difficult in the past to try and add additional storage to my servers.
So you really feel like it sounds that the NVMe hits its stride, you know, maybe later this year, but by 2018 is really maybe not the primary consumption interface model for flash, but certainly a prominent one.
Absolutely. I think it just there's a lot of investment, a lot of really smart folks working on that. Already some deployments out there, not the ideal, but it's definitely the direction. And part of it is just how do you free up the performance limitations you see today. Now, it wouldn't be normal to see such a huge jump in adoption on it, but it's leaning that way. And I think once you start seeing case studies where you can show the benefits and the returns are moving there, then it's just that's when the switch flips in a way. I mean, we talked about it before, is all flash arrays and SSDs, are they really now taking over sort of the core of the storage. It used to be, you know, you needed to get to a price point where the performance and the cost and all that made sense over a spinning solution. So that's going to be the same when it comes to NVMe. It's going to be a point where you're now seeing the benefits of performance, adoption, everything else that really it makes it a no-brainer for folks who, okay, the structure's there. They've worked out all the kinks. Everything's working right. So let's now jump into the technology. And it's, yeah, probably 2018, at some point, you'll start seeing that that rollover happening at an accelerated pace.
And do you guys, or you personally, view this as something where NVMe-based solutions are almost a tier that sits after memory but ahead of other fast storage? Or do you think this is ultimately a SAS replacement that that takes over as the core primary flash storage for enterprise?
I think that's more the case, and I'll say that's my opinion. But yes, to me, it's a SAS type of replacement. You still have to develop sort of that tier between DRAM and storage. Right now for us, it's an area that's being supported by DRAM, combination of DRAM and SSDs that have the right software solutions, right? So it's building on existing structures versus trying to come up with something brand new. I think this something brand new is more on the NVMe over fiber, and that's really as a way to replace SAS. So in the past, we had seen SAS sort of was disappearing. It was not a lot of investment happening there. Once we had higher capacity SAS drives, it sort of was a, hey, great, now we can replace all those existing drives we had that were lower capacity, double the density or triple the density in some cases. So it gave new life for it, but you're still seeing better performance on NVMe. So as a long term, are you going to see a lot of new SAS players out there? I really doubt that. I think you're going to see more NVMe players looking to replace that SAS environment.
Yeah, I can't imagine wanting to get into the SAS interface at this point if you're not already there. We, many years ago, had the conversation with someone that was trying to figure it out, and they did not succeed very well. It's not a trivial investment of time and energy and money to make that work.
Yeah, and the longer, I mean, like everything else, the longer you can keep running with what you already have, why not, right? If you can just kind of make incremental upgrades to it without real huge structural changes, you already have the sunk cost in it, so now you can benefit from the performance. It's until you get to a pain point where your performance as is no longer keeping the business model sustainable. That's when you now jump to something else, and without any real development in SAS as far as the entire structure, then the next jump really does become NVMe again.
So NVMe clearly is the path forward on most of the workloads. I know Samsung is investigating, like everyone is, storage class memories. What's your view there? And is it still too niche to be taken seriously by mainstream enterprise? What do you think is the future from that standpoint?
Yeah, honestly, today I do see that a bit niche. And I think there's certainly investment and R&D being put into looking at new ways of storing data and maybe even long-term archiving on flash. But the desire and the market opportunity for it is just not there to be putting a lot of resources behind it. And we're seeing, I mean, there's existing technology in the marketplace that is doing well with that sort of archiving space. As we talked about, software being built to sort of fill the niche where the hardware is not maybe up to where folks want it to be. But it's going to be, I think, a while until we really get to a flash archiving solution. So it's it's something everybody's working on, some sort of opportunity out there. But I think it's going to be quite a few years before that really becomes a reality.
Okay, so quite a few years out for that one. What can you give us here at the end to close us off on something that's a little more attainable in the next year? What is Samsung looking at from capacity increases or what else is in the hopper that you guys have coming soon?
Sure. So I think for us, the nearline, the closest is continuing the evolution on our VNAND, on our vertical NAND. So we just built a new factory that's developing our fourth generation VNAND. So that's the 64-layer product. So that is slated to be out in the market by end of Q2, Q3 of this year. That does help us increase density on the drive. So when we look at our 30 or 16 terabyte SAS drive and 30 terabyte SAS drive announced last year, that was built on sort of a 48-layer structure. So you can see the opportunity of now building product in a 64-layer where you go with capacities there. And then there continue to be investments in looking at alternative ways of storing data. You know, so more longer term, there's always been the looking at re-RAM type of storage and other ways of managing the increasing demands of customers and the market and end users. Everybody wants immediate gratification, and we talk about it when we talk to customers. You go into your whatever GPS-enabled app, and you want to know right away, right now, what's next to me, what's on sale at the store, what's happening there. So all that is just really, you need fast networks, fast storage. Everything has to be fast, because otherwise you're going to lose that customer if it takes you 10 minutes before you get a result back from where you are as to what's happening next to you. You're not going to use that application for too long. So your business model has to adapt to those immediacy needs and deliver some sort of value, because that's really at the end of the day where you're making your money. So for us, flash is definitely is here. It's growing. We're seeing a much stronger adoption. Next is, how do you improve the density of the storage more within the same footprint? And then how do you speed the pipes and everything else that has been pushing to get better performance out of these solutions?
Well, that's certainly helpful. I think customers would want you to try to squeeze a little cost out of there too, if at all possible.
Of course, that's, I think, the in the back of everybody's mind is, how do you make this better, faster, and of course, affordable?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rich, thanks so much for your time today. Glad to have you on, and look forward to seeing what comes out on this 64-layer technology later in the year and what your customers do with it. It should be a great deal of fun.
All right. Thank you so much, Ryan.
I'd like to thank Rich again for participating in the podcast, thinking about where we are today with technology stemming from a grocery store in the 1930s is a pretty funny visual as you think about the progression that Samsung has gone through. But the leaps in the last few years are truly impressive. 64-layer VNAND later this year should enable drives in the 50 to 60 terabyte range, if my math is correct, which is just simply impressive in terms of what you can get out of these things when you put them into a NetApp or a Dell EMC or HPE Array that has data reduction on top. It's truly amazing from a density perspective. With the forthcoming releases of NVMe drives and integrations and potential with NVMe over fabrics, it's a great time to be in the industry and be a part of everything that's going on. So again, thank you, Rich, and we'll be back soon with another podcast. We appreciate your support. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Review, and you can always get our podcasts and leave us a great review, I hope, on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, or wherever else you find your podcast. Thank you.